And so we got on the ship, and walking down one of the alleyways, or whatever they call the thing in a ship, we came to a door that was padded. It was all just like a nice chair, but it's padded. And so we opened the door, and inside, nothing but padded. The whole thing was just beautiful. Well, it was a cuckoo ward is what it was. The guys that had gone nuts, and they put them in there to take them home. So he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we just threw our stuff into that room and got in there and closed the door. It was quiet, and so we had 13 days. The captain tried to break the record of 12 days to New York. He tried his best, but we got into a great big storm about 2 days out of New York, a great big storm. Boy, that thing jumped up and down, and the propeller would jump out of the water. Oh, my, the metal of that thing would pop and pop and groan, and oh, it was terrible. So we didn't break the record, but we got home in about 13 days. While we were in the cuckoo ward, Harvey said, well, what are you going to do after the war? What are you going to do right now? Well, I was on the way to becoming a B-29 pilot, and the war was over in Europe, but not in the South Pacific. So I told Harvey I was already an optometrist. I'd already been to school. I hadn't practiced anything. I hadn't had but just about 3 or 4 weeks of clinic, and that I would have to go back to school for a little bit. Then I would open up a practice. But I did it. I opened up the practice and then went back to school. So we got all those guys, and we got into New York, and they took us immediately in GI trucks to the train station. And we got on this train. There was a full colonel, and he had his 35 guys, and Harvey Ryder and me, and then there must have been at least 20 other groups, and this great big train, and the car that Harvey and I and this colonel got. Well, we had wicker seats in there. You could look down and see the rails through the flooring. It was just horrible. Filthy, dirty. They had one big can of water at one end of it, a coal stove at the other end of it. This was in May, and so it was hot, sweaty, terrible. But we had to get on it anyway. And the colonel looked at me, and I looked at him, and we dived for the floor. We weren't about to sit in those wicker seats. They were square. Terrible. And we'd see these streamliners on the next track, you know, all the civilians sitting up in there just to ride. And here we were in this junk of a car. So that's how we got to St. Louis. And when we got out of the train down in St. Louis, we were absolutely black, covered with soot. That was a coal engine, not diesel. And so when we got out down there in St. Louis, the train went right into the base. There was some general out there, and when the colonel came out, he was the first one out of the... And the time I got to the steps and stepped down, why, this general was just giving this colonel hell for being so dirty and filthy. I mean, he just outlaid him something terrible. Because all the people got off of there were just, we were dirty, filthy. Been on the train for 4 days from New York to St. Louis. Well, the colonel finally turned around and gave the general hell. He didn't salute him or anything. He just chewed him up one side and down the other. And then I got all my guys down to where they were processed properly, and we stayed there for 2 days, and then we were sent on leave. And so I got on a bus in St. Louis and went to Marshall, saw my wife and my family, mother and dad and all the kids, and quite a time. And every time the bus would stop and let somebody off at their house as we went on the highway, boy, the bus, with everybody would cheer. It was just really wonderful.
Now, did your family know you were coming that day, or was it, they knew you were coming someday, or they knew exactly when?
Oh, I called them.
So everybody was in Marshall waiting for you to get there.
Yep.
Now, you briefly talked about it. You said after the war you opened the practice, you wanted to go back to school, and you went to Penn State,
yep.
Ohio State,
right.
UCLA.
Right.
And was there another one?
Bradley over in Illinois. These were seminars set up by the Optometric Educational Group. It was for guys like me because there were a lot of us in service. I learned a lot because here it was a necessity.
Now, how soon after the war did you open up your practice?
Before the war, I was sent to, after being home on leave for, I think, 2 weeks or something like that. Then I was sent to California to Santa Ana to be discharged. They asked if I wanted to stay in the reserve and learn to fly the B-29 and all that. And I said, hell no, I don't want to have any more to do with it. I said, I'd just change my life then and maybe be helpful in a different way. And so I took my papers and went up to Kansas City and went to the second-hand place where they had all kinds of desks, typewriters, equipment that ran the war. They put all that stuff in these big buildings, these Quonset huts in Kansas City. And you could go in there and you could buy these nice desks and chairs. And it was run by the Army. So I bought desks and they'd take 50 cents, a dollar, whatever you had. And so I took an old flatbed trailer that my brother-in-law had off the farm, went up there and I piled that all the stuff I could get on it for an office and went back to Marshall. That's where Mary and I stayed for a while.
And did you open a practice there?
No.
No, okay.
No, I went in with my dad for about 2 weeks. He was an optometrist and his license was number 4 in the state of Missouri. So he taught me the nuts and bolts. They were a jeweler optometry. Dad signed the certificates of 1,800 optometrists. They had a little school, and he was one of the professors, and old John Needles was the head of the school in Kansas City. Dad, everything new would come up, he would develop it into his practice. He had a jewelry store in Odessa, and in the back of it, he had this optometric office. We take for granted now, like a crossed eye, for example. An optometrist in about 3 or 4 days can straighten an eye by just certain activities. It's called visual training, visual therapy. And Dad was one of the first people to lay out the first 7 tests to put the proper lenses on people, to do activities that would develop the vision part of the human being.
So you were with your father, since he was also lecturing, was giving you refresher courses?
Of course, all the time. I was there and I learned as much as all the other guys around there without going to school.